Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Just a couple of days away from dropping the puck for real on the 2021 Nashville Predator season. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Preds TV analyst, former Preds goalie Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. See, Mace, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
What's up, guys? Doing great. Just getting ready to
Get things going here, and we're looking forward to it in a couple of days, the puck dropping against Columbus. So, C-Mace, as you look at this Preds team, you look at the group and the roster they've got coming in this year, what do you want to see right from the jump with this group in terms of the way that they're playing and the style of play that they bring to the table? I think we may have lost C-Mace. We'll attempt to reconnect there with Chris Mason because we would love to get his perspective as a former goaltender. Lots to get to in the condensed schedule this year as well. But, Joe, that is going to be interesting. Like, how does the team handle this right from the jump in a season where you really don't have time to mess around? 56 games, you don't have the luxury of going 2.5 weeks and trying to figure out your game with the schedule being what it is.
I know C-Mace isn't on Zoom, but I want him with me in the smashing of the of the equipment too. He would be an awesome cohort for that. Yeah, I mean it's a different kind of. I mean, really, it changes what I think would have been the natural progression from Saros to Rene this year. Kind of like last year was the transitional year, but this year in a normal season would have been to me. That where you see it flip-flopped, where you see Pecorine is the clear two and he gets about 30 games and UC Saros gets about 50 games and you're spread out and probably works out well. You know, it's more demanding, obviously, when you talk about this condensed schedule and all the back-to-backs. And so the teams that have two goalies they feel good about, I would say just naturally have the advantage, and that's obviously not every team.
Yeah, and to that point, we've got Chris Mason back on the line with us. And C-Mace, just from right from the jump, what do you want to see from this group in terms of the style of play? And how do you think the schedule will dictate what we see from Saros and Rene in terms of the deployment of how they're used?
I think Joe makes a great point. This year is obviously going to be completely different. It would have been if it was a full season. You might have seen more of an opportunity to kind of hand the keys over to Juice in terms of the bulk of the playing work and maybe the future of the starting goaltender here in Nashville. But given the circumstances, I feel, depending, their play is going to dictate it a lot more. So it's going to be one of those things. It always does, but I think even more so now because it's so condensed. You're playing, 17 or 8 teams 7 times, and it's only 56 games. So I think, if a guy's playing well right now and he's going to let him go with it, but they're going to have, no matter what, they're going to have all these back-to-backs. They're going to have to flip-flop and manage those types of situations too. So going to be very interesting. But it gives Pekka a chance. Like after the first scrimmage, I thought, all right, well, Pekka's going to get the start. And then as the second scrimmage, I'm like, well, I think Juice will be starting Thursday. But I think we'll be seeing a lot of that flip-flop back and forth. And as for the identity of this team, I think we've all heard, what the players have said and what John Hines has said right from when he got here, really. Of what he wants the identity of this team to be, which is, extremely hard to play against, attention to detail, and playing the right way. And I think, grit too is a big word that David Poile used and John Hines used in the offseason of what kind of players they wanted to bring in to try to kind of get back to playing the way I think we remember the Predators from years back. That was that kind of a feisty, gritty, just relentlessly working, hard-working team. We never, not necessarily always had the talent that this group has, but if they can really embody that and really embrace that identity as a team with the talent they have, I think it's exactly what I feel like they missed maybe the last couple of years is that grit, is that every single night, it seems sometimes they came out and they played really hard and you're like, all right, there it is. That's what we want. That's the way that's the way they got to that. We always talk about 2017, but that's the way they played in 2017. It looks like that team again. We've always been waiting for that kind of feeling again. And I think they want to get back to that. And so far, the guys that they brought in, I've been really impressed with them at camp and during the scrimmages as well.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. And C-Mace, that Johansson line, I mean, we had Forsberg on a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about it. Nobody on that line had the season that we have come to expect from them last season. So as you look ahead to this year, assuming that they leave Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson together, what would be your expectation and your confidence that they have a bounce-back year together this year on that line?
My confidence in that line, barring health, is for the bounce back extremely high. These are guys, you know, and I think too, and again, you know, John Hines, I thought, did a really good job when he came in, and he changed the mindset, you know, about the ice time, and it's not given, it's earned. And if you don't play the right way, he talked to Philip about changing his focus to playing the right way. Don't worry about the points. I know you look at the stat sheet every day and the points aren't where they want to be. But if you play the right way, I'm telling you, they're going to come. And I think this year, these guys, if they can stay healthy, I think they can, you know, they have that chemistry, and they have the ability, you know, to be a force, to be one of those top lines in the National Hockey League. So I really feel strongly about a bounce back for that team. And it's just a complete change in mindset, I think, for them.
Chris, Ellie Tolvanen is 21 years old, which is kind of amazing, you know, because of how long we've been talking about him, and certain media members who will go unnamed may have hyped him a bit a few years ago. But I've heard some talk around Tolvanen, and like, oh, here's like, you know, this is your chance to prove it, you know. And I wonder, like, do you think that's fair? I mean, we see some guys take till 23, 24 or whatever to find themselves. I mean, do you think this is that kind of situation for Tolvanen right now?
I mean, I don't think so. I think, like you said, I feel like everyone feels like he's much older and he's been around a lot longer than he has, just because of when we started hearing his name, and, you know, you see all the highlights and you expect the kid. Everyone develops at different times. You know, some kids can come in right away and they can, you know, be effective as a 19, 20-year-old, and other kids, they don't figure it out, or they don't, you know, exactly find their way until they're, you know, 25 years old, a little more maturity and confidence, and just learning how to process the game in the NHL level, you know, at the level it needs to be in all areas. And I think he's one of those guys. He definitely, you know, he leaves you wanting more, I feel like. When he got called up, you're like, oh, okay, where is it? And then you go down to Milwaukee, you see the highlights, and you're like, okay, that's what we need. You expect to see that when he comes up. And I feel sometimes it takes time for some players. And I think he's one of those guys. He did the right thing, I think, by committing to play in Milwaukee. I know Scott Nichols said he could have went back to Russia and he could have made, you know, a boatload of money, but he wanted to come and learn, you know, to play, you know, quote unquote, the right way, and play defense and on the other side of the puck and get the details in his game stronger. And, you know, I think he'll get there. I don't think it's, I would never, I've seen too many people write people off too early. I don't know what the point of doing that is, because you honestly, nobody ever knows. You never know how somebody's going to turn out, if it's this year or 2 years and it finally clicks. So I think every player is unique in their development, and he's one of those guys. I see progress. That's what I'm looking for. I want to see progress. Once the progress stops, then maybe you can say, all right, you know, that's as good as it's going to get. But I see, every time I see him, I see a little more progress. I don't know if he's quite ready yet, to be honest with you, in my opinion. But I have seen progress in his game, so that's a good thing to me.
See, Mace, nobody expects a third defense pairing to go out there and win you a game or anything like that, but I have thought the last few years that the third pair has been a pretty heavy point of weakness for this Predators team. And I don't know about you, but I look at this new third pair with Borowiecki and Benning coming in, and I think I feel as good about this six on defense as I have in a long time for the Predators. Is that fair? Would you agree with that statement heading into this season, that this might be the best six that they've had on defense in the last few years?
I would say so. And then you throw, you know, Tenorti in the mix. And I think when you get a third pair out there, I think a lot of times, you know, other teams might be able to exploit them, you know, when the Preds are the road team and the home team gets last change. I think that's, you know, can happen quite often. And I think, you know, the dynamic this year, Benning's a solid player, plays physical. Borowiecki, obviously, the guy's a beast. I think when other teams' top lines are out against those guys, or if Tenorti's in there, there's a little bit of fear factor. You play a different way. You're not so, you know, gung-ho to get in there in the forecheck and bang it up with, you know, with Borowiecki in the corner, because you know you're going to have to pay the price, right? You're going to have to, there's a price to be paid if you want to get that puck or if you want to go to the front of the net. And that does a lot mentally, you know, when you're lining up against that third pair now and it's a veteran presence, that type of thing. He's, you know, when he's out there. And I think, you know, the last couple of years, there's, you know, they've had some decent moments, but I don't think it's been, you know, a situation where maybe the most confidence is they've had in that group as the third pair. And I think now, I think, you know, with the depth that they have too and the taxi squad and, you know, possibly Yannick Weber or Carrier or Davies or whoever, you know, ends up on that taxi squad, they're going to have some good options to maybe, you know, change that up if they need to. But I think Benning, Borowiecki, that's, to me, on paper, that seems like really good. And when you look at what they've done in their careers, that's a really solid third pair.
So, Chris, after the first few games, which new face on this team are we all going to be talking about?
Man, I'll tell you what. I know it's the scrimmages, but I were you guys at the scrimmages? I can't remember if I saw anyone else there. But I think Nick Cousins. I think this guy. I hope Cunningham, because that second line might take a little bit to get going, just because they got back late and, you know, they got to find chemistry and find a way to make things happen, and it doesn't happen overnight. But I think Nick Cousins, the way he plays, and John Hines told Crispy and us that he's got that sneaky skill. Like, he's a good player, but he's also, like, he's a little rat, like, agitator. He's in your face. He was hitting guys, you know, all over the ice, and he just gets in there all the time. So I'm looking at him just because he's one of those guys that you notice all the time. He makes things happen. He gets in your face. He gets the other team off their game. So I'll throw him out there for now. But I'm hoping Eric Hall too. You know, we only saw him one time, and he just got over here too, so it might take him a while to get going. But you never know. And he's a guy that another guy looking for a bounce back. I think we have a lot of those stories on the team this year.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. C. Mace, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and looking forward to getting things kicked off on Thursday.
Yeah, let's do this. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Chris Mason,
thanks, buddy.
One of the best in the business. When we come back, I've got an interesting question I want to throw out there. Is Roman Josi well on his way to becoming the best player in team history, even ahead of Pekka Rinne? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.